We're engaged in a rather lengthy series of sermons based upon Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. And this morning we come to look at the marvelous ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have discovered that Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 are a commentary on what it means to be under grace and not under law. The most significant theological truth of these three chapters is that you are not under law, you are under grace. Now we've seen how marvelous this is, the reign of grace, this abundance of grace. Ephesians describes it over and over, what it's like, and in my devotions I was reading this morning that passage that thrilled my heart so. In the first chapter of Ephesians says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," past tense, "in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places," where it really counts, in heavenly places, at the source, at headquarters, "even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He destined us in his love, in his grace, to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace." His glorious grace. Now, God shows his glory in many ways. God's glory, by the way, is the sum total of what he is. If you would equal out all of his attributes, you would have the word glory. Now, God has especially manifested his glory in creation. You take a look at the world, the sun, the moon, the stars, this great vast universe, how you see God's power in creation. But you see his grace in the church. And that's what Ephesians is trying to tell us. "Unto him be glory in the church." I just quoted from Ephesians chapter 3. "So to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us." So here's lavish grace, glorious grace. And you remember that great passage in Ephesians 2, verse 7? "In the coming ages, throughout all eternity, he will show the immeasurable riches of his grace," the immeasurable riches of his grace, "toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that's not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so unto him be glory in the church." God shows his love, his nature, his power, his grace through you. He can't show his love, really, you see, so much in the universe, though it's there, I do believe. But he shows his grace in the church, in people like we are. Those of us who were dead in trespasses and sins have now been made alive by his marvelous, wonderful grace. And so Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 tells us what it means to be under grace. And we have seen that grace is not something to be distinguished from God. Grace is just a word. We're talking about the life of God, the being of God, or the Spirit of God. That's why you can't separate the reign of grace from a life in the Spirit. So we said that the most significant theological truth was you are not under law, but under grace. The most practical exhortation, however, is that you are to walk in the Spirit. Now, the Spirit, of course, means the Holy Spirit, means that life of God. And again, I would like to clarify, you can never separate the Holy Spirit or the life of God, the Spirit of God, from a quality of life, because he's called the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. So we want to walk in the Spirit. That's why Paul in Romans 8, after giving the exhortation to walk in the Spirit, begins to tell us now about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There are three basic spiritual needs for man. We have three primary needs. First of all, everybody here needs salvation. You need to be set free. You need deliverance. You need to be rescued. You need to be emancipated. You need saved, in other words. That's salvation. Being set free, ransomed, delivered, liberated. And so in this great chapter, we're going to look at the emancipating ministry of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, everybody here needs a self-understanding. You need to know who you are. You need to have an identity. You need to take out all the confusion, all the ignorance about who you are. You need to establish your identity. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's His great ministry in this chapter. The second thing He does, He has a ministry of establishing identity as He bears witness that we are God's sons. He brings us right into the spirit of adoption. And thirdly, everybody here needs strength. Are you weak? Yes, you are. And this brings us to the enabling ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's all right here in this great eighth chapter of Romans. So we're going to underscore just that first part this morning, and that's the emancipating ministry of the Holy Spirit as He liberates God's people. Romans chapter 8, beginning please with verse 12. So then, brethren, we were debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, see, and walk in the Spirit, you will live. For all who are led, governed, controlled under the power of the Spirit, all who are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. Paul is starting a progression of logical thoughts here. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. I want you to notice that verse because we're going to underscore it this morning. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You have received a spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it's the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if you're children, notice how it progresses, then you are heirs, heirs of God to the eternal inheritance. You are fellow heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed in us. Creation waits for the eager longing of the revealing of the sons of God. Creation was subjected to futility, emptiness, the doctrine of emptiness, not of its own will, but by the will of Him who subjected it in hope, because creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, and they will obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. And so we're talking about this marvelous liberty, this emancipating ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're going to live in this life, in this present time, according to verse 18, and become a super conqueror, according to verse 37, more than conquerors, you've got to have something happening to your spirit. Now, we said again and again, the real issue of life will always be the quality and the level of your spirit, because life is from within out. It's going to be the attitude, the outlook, the characteristics, the quality of your soul that's going to determine whether you're going to be a super conqueror. Now, it is possible to have a spirit of slavery. Now, what is a spirit of slavery? Well, at least it's a couple of things. First of all, I think it's a spirit that I don't belong. I don't quite fit in. I am not at home. It's a feeling that I'm not a part of things. I am unacceptable. At least I am not a member of God's family, and God is not my Father. It's a sense of unworthiness, a feeling of inadequacy, a feeling, you know, that I don't have a right to exist. I'm just like a slave. Now, that's a terrible feeling. I wasn't an orphan. Brother George here was an orphan. I don't know what it'd be like to be an orphan. But my mother died when I was in the second grade, and I was farmed out to live with a lot of people. Some of them I felt at home with, and some I did not. I remember in the fourth grade, I stayed with a boy in Coffeyville, Kansas, And his special ministry was to let me know I wasn't a part of that family. So I never did feel a part of that family. For about a year, I lived there like a slave, I'm telling you. By the way, I beat that kid up good before I left, by the way. But it's wonderful to know that you've got a spirit of adoption, that you belong, that you're at home, to know that you have a right to exist. Are there people who live like that? Yes. There are some people who feel they don't have a right to exist in the earth. But thanks be unto God, we have not received a spirit of slavery that makes us fall back into fear. Now, what would a slave fear more than anything else? Just basically one thing. A slave would be afraid that he had not done right and would be punished. That would be his basic fear. If you were a slave, you would constantly be subject to the anxiety, have I pleased the master? Am I being acceptable? You must remember that at times and back in the first century, masters had almost power of life and death over their slaves. If they displeased them, they could be killed. They could be severely punished. And so slaves were always in terror. Have I pleased the master? Am I acceptable? And so they would live with this haunting fear of being punished. And so the glorious liberty of the children of God through the grace of the Holy Spirit is to let us know that we no longer have any fear of punishment. The Bible calls it no condemnation. Do you remember how 1 John put it? 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. We know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in God abides in love. In this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, as Christ is, so are we in this world right now. As he is right now, so are we right now. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. He who fears is not perfected in love. Now, we're not talking about our love. I used to think that if I were just perfected in love, if I could be more loving, then I wouldn't have fear. But then I realize I'm talking about God's perfect love. To be perfected in love is to know how perfectly God loves you. And if you know how perfectly God loves you, then you have no fear of punishment. Because they're directly opposite things. Perfect love, an understanding of God's love, his nature, his grace, sets you utterly free. That's this glorious liberty of the children of God, where you have not received a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Do we have fear of being punished? No! No! Because we're not under law. We're under grace. There is no punishment. Because, you see, there really is no sin. There is no law. So therefore, there cannot be sin. Therefore, there cannot be punishment. You say, Pastor, you're getting carried away there, aren't you? Absolutely not. I'm preaching you the simple gospel. I'm telling you exactly what Jesus Christ has done. It's amazing how many people think they ought to feel just a little bit miserable. Now, wait a minute. I can't be perfectly free. I can't really enjoy all that Jesus did on the cross. I got to feel just a little miserable. Just give me a little grain of condemnation. Let me be a cross stealer. Let me do some penance. Let me do something. Oh, no, you don't. Mm-mm. God says, no, I've done it all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's his emancipating ministry that sets us free. The Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. I don't want even a tiny bit of condemnation. I want to have an open-faced, an unveiled relationship with God. I want to be very bold. I don't want to live life shifty-eyed with my tail between my legs for one second. I want to enjoy all that Jesus Christ has done for me. We're talking about the marvelous liberty that the Holy Spirit can give you through Jesus Christ our Lord. The best commentary on this passage, I think, is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, the apostle contrasts the two covenants, law and grace. the two dispensations. And here he's telling us what has come to us through Jesus Christ and what it has done for the Apostle Paul and the great liberty that he has through the Holy Spirit. Listen to this marvelous passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Confidence, boldness, openness, free speech. This is tied into the word, by the way, of a flowing. The root word here is something that flows, unhindered, unblocked, unimpeded. You can speak freely. You feel open. You feel free. You're confident. You're very bold. Such is the confidence that we have toward God through Christ. Now, wait a minute. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Do you ever have that confidence or sufficiency in yourself? No. No. To claim anything is from ourselves. No, our sufficiency is from God. And His grace has been lavished upon us. This billionaire grace, this unsearchable riches of His grace. Millionaire grace. Billionaire grace. It is sufficiency is from God who has qualified us. He has qualified us as ministers of a new covenant, not in a written code, but in the Spirit. For the written code kills. And anybody who has a conscience bound under the law has to go into that death-like existence. They have to feel a little uneasy somewhere or another. They've got to have a little death in them, you know. But the Spirit gives life. Now, if the dispensation of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such splendor that the Israelites could not look at Moses' face because of its brightness, fading as this was, will not the dispensation of the Spirit be attended with greater splendor? If there was splendor in the dispensation of condemnation, the dispensation of righteousness must far exceed it in splendor. Indeed, in this case, what once had splendor has come to have no splendor at all because of the splendor that surpasses it. For if what faded away came with splendor, what is permanent must have much more splendor. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, very confident, very bold. Not just bold, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not see the end, how quickly this splendor was fading. But their minds were hardened, Israel's minds were. To this day, when they read the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses read, a veil lies over their minds. But when a man turns to the Lord, that veil is removed. And the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with an unveiled face, how about that? With an unveiled face, we are beholding the glory of the Lord, the grace and the power, all the holiness of God. We're looking right at it with an unveiled face. We are being changed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now that story is taken from the way Moses received the law for Israel. He went up on top Mount Sinai, and while he was there in the presence of God, some of God's glory began to shine on his face. And Moses had such an effulgence, such a brightness in his face, that when he came down to talk to Israel, it blinded them, it hurt their eyes. So Moses put a veil over his face. And this represented two things. It represented, of course, how glorious was the giving of the law. Is this law a good thing? I tell you, it was so glorious it made Moses' face shine. But listen, if the giving of the law made Moses' face light up, how much greater is the grace and truth that came by Jesus Christ? Why, it's so glorious, you can't even see the first covenant. You can't even look at it. It's just like the sun coming up in the daytime. It just hides the moon and the stars. They're still up there, but they just fade out because the sun is so great. I tell you, the grace and the love of God is so glorious, it shines so brilliantly, that it just fades away all these other things. What Jesus Christ has done has absolutely eclipsed anything else. Here is His marvelous, wonderful grace. That veil also showed the hardness of their hearts. But isn't it wonderful that God, by the Spirit, causes us to come to Jesus Christ. And guess what? When we come to Jesus Christ, we can come with an unveiled face, completely accepted, very bold, very open. And that glorious grace is just coming to us with an unveiled face. Do you have anything to hide? Nothing. Your sins are covered. Your sins are gone. They have been put away. It is possible to live with an absolutely perfect conscience. Did you know the Bible teaches that? You can live with a perfect conscience. I'm using Bible language. And we'll see how it's possible to be absolutely free. Absolutely free. Gloriously free. The glorious liberty of the children of God, because the Spirit of life has set me free. Not a false freedom, but a true freedom. 2 Peter says, they promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a man, to that he is enslaved. And so we're talking about a freedom that is a freedom indeed. I would say now that the leading practical point to Romans 6-8 is that we might come into freedom, that we might be set free. That's what this is all about. Galatians 5:13 says, you have been called to liberty. That's what you have been called to. And you remember what the Lord Jesus said? If the Son sets you free, you will be really free. You will be free indeed. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing not to have a spirit of fear. No fear whatever. Brother Don, aren't you afraid of being punished by God? No, not at all. Oh, now wait a minute. That's going to make you kind of gracie, won't it? Aren't you going to start living kind of loose? Absolutely not. Because God by the Spirit has a hold of my heart. And that's the only message that can bring you into true authentic holiness. That's the only message that will do it. It's grace that teaches you to deny ungodliness. Grace sets your heart sufficiently free from yourself that you can begin to love authentically. Now you can begin to love God and others, whereas before you are so bound up in your condemnation. Let me tell you something. You find anybody who's living in sin, and I'll tell you somebody who's not living in grace. If you live in the grace of God, you're going to come into this marvelous freedom that sets you free from your sins and sets you free from yourself. And it begins by knowing that you do not have a spirit of slavery that makes you fall back into fear. The thing of it is, you see, you can't do anything wrong. You can't be punished. That's such a glorious, glorious doctrine, and it's so free that some people can't believe it. I've had people tell me, you know, I'm just afraid to believe the grace of God. We're talking about the being of God. Unto Him be glory in the church. Oh, how He wants to reveal what He is to you. I implore you to let the Holy Spirit bring the fullness of His ministry of liberation to you. The glorious liberty of the children of God. You have not received a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You have received a spirit of sonship that makes you say, Father, my Father, Abba, Father. That's the spirit that rings in our hearts this morning. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom, through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, it's nice to be at home. It's nice to be comfortable. It's nice to take your shoes off and know that you're in your Father's family. You belong to Him. And to relax. To be at peace. Is that possible? That's exactly why Jesus Christ came. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. To walk in the Spirit is life and peace. In Jesus Christ our Lord. I commend it to you. It makes me love Him. The emancipating ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. I wouldn't live another second of my life without the true freedom that can come to you through Jesus Christ. This is available to you. It can happen the level of your spirit. God can give you a spirit of adoption that lets you know you are as He is in this world. I'm as Jesus Christ is right now. I'm never going to be any more righteous than I am right now. Death is not going to make me righteous. It's the blood of Jesus that makes me righteous. And I have that right now. That's this glorious gospel of His marvelous grace. As He is, so are we in this world. Perfect love cast out all fear. Do you have one speck of fear? Not one speck. I know whom I have believed. I have no fear of punishment, no condemnation. Well, I don't know where the level of your spirit is, but I urge you in Jesus' name to receive that message and to let the Holy Spirit of God set your spirit free. Don't go one more second without that glorious freedom, that glorious liberty of the children of God. Don't fall back into a slave spirit that makes you fear. But in Jesus' name, receive that message this morning.